I've got a new ad campaign for First Lutheran of Richmond Beach. Pastor John and I, we're going to talk with Alan Hurst, if you want to join us in this, Alan. We've got a cross. And we're going to, during all the Shoreline festivals, Pastor John and I are going to carry this cross down through Edmonds and Shoreline and say, come to First Lutheran Church of Richmond Beach. Well, I see some skepticism. Don't you think that might draw a few folks to church? Well, let me put down the cross for a moment. Would you tend the cross for us while it's... Thank you very much. So you don't think that would work? Why not? I think you're probably right. But what do you think would happen if I were to drag a cross, or Pastor John were to drag a cross down through the town? What do you think the reaction would be? Yes, Matt. They would think I'm crazy. Now, you were all thinking of it, but he was actually saying it. Right, right. Now, what would be another approach that we could use to invite people to First Lutheran? You know, we're starting a new year. What would be some other things that we do or that happen here that would attract and draw people? You can shout them out wherever you are. What are those? Some of those things we're proud of? Sunday school starting today, right? Teaching for children and adults as well. What else? Music. Long and wonderful tradition. They're not up there at the moment, but we know, right? Wonderful music and worship. What else?
A reader board,
yeah. Kind of the information is out there and electronically. What else? What else are we proud of? Well, that would be just very simple. A personal touch. Somebody you know. Come to church, right? What else? Beautiful cross up in front. Yeah, the architecture, the stained glass windows, the preschool. Think of all the other ways that First Lutheran Church lives out the message of love of Jesus Christ, right? But we have this lesson this Sunday where, let me give you the context for the lesson, which helps to understand what Jesus is trying to get at here. Earlier in the 8th chapter of Mark, Jesus has just fed several thousand people. The crowds had been gathering, and they were hungry, right? And so the disciples kind of went, what do we do? And of course, we have that wonderful story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And there were more leftovers than there is after a Lutheran potluck, right? That was amazing, all the food that was left over. So people were fed. And right after that, a blind man was brought to Jesus. And Jesus spits on his fingers and rubs it in the eyes of the blind man. And his sight comes back. And guess what? The crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Jesus has this wonderful little line in there. He said, don't tell anyone. Why? Why do you suppose Jesus told his disciples, don't tell anyone? This is audience participation time. Why do you suppose? What?
Reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology. Okay. No. You're wrong. No. Why do you suppose? Yeah. You've never understood it. There's an honest answer and another honest answer. Somebody shouted from the balcony. Go ahead. They want to discover him for himself. Someone shouted from the balcony in the choir at the first service, the right hand and the left hand, not knowing, and people would come to see him as the miracle worker, the bread provider, the one who gives sight. And he wanted to say that there was more to his message than that. And right after that, we have the story about when he begins to talk about the fact that he was going to suffer and die. And the message about how are we to be like him? How are we to live the faith, to be close to God? Take up your cross. Well, actually, first, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Wow. What a message. But it makes sense. So how are we to make sense of that lesson today about denying ourselves, taking up our cross. It is so countercultural. What's the message of the world out there? What's that? Yeah, you, or me. Success, money, possessions, right? Power, right?
Indulge yourself,
right? If it feels good, do it, right? And so this is a very countercultural kind of message. What I'd like to suggest today is it is God's brilliant solution to the problem of the cosmos. Wow. Are you ready? As I was thinking about this, the keys are deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Does anybody want to deny themselves here? Of course we don't, right? Indulge yourself, right? What does it mean to deny yourself? Well, in a conversation, maybe denying myself might be, rather than Dave the talkative pastor guy, to shut up and listen. That's a way of denying myself, right? Think of ways that you could back away from your first reaction to people, right? When they make you mad or that you get frustrated, and let me use the image here, right? This cup is empty, right? I am full of myself. I am full. We are all full. What Jesus is saying in deny yourself is empty yourselves. Be available. Open yourselves up. If we are preoccupied, there's no room for anyone else. No room for God. No room for growth. So isn't it interesting? We have all to deny ourselves, to be available, to empty ourselves, to listen, to be available. Here you are, hungry for God's word today, empty, and God is feeding us as we gather to worship. So what does that mean? Well, you think of the symbol of the cross, right? There it is, a cross. God's love coming down to us. The world, right? The arms of God reaching out to us. If our arms out aren't open wide, how can we hug or be hugged? If we're like this all the time, which is sometimes the way we feel, isn't it? Right? Are we open? No. Are we available? Can that love that we have, that comes together at the intersection of God's love, the vertical dimension and the horizontal, that particular place of the real world and the struggles and the things that go on in life, can we be available and can God pour God's love into us? Interesting. And follow me. How does that one fit? A lot of times people in our country say, I believe in God. In fact, the majority of Americans say they believe in God. In fact, I suspect if you were to say, do you believe in Jesus? Of course we believe in Jesus. He was a great teacher, a wonderful man. But it doesn't say, do you believe in God? It doesn't say, do you believe in Jesus? It's deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Oh, my goodness. For me, kayak adventurer, that says, what an adventure that we're called to in faith. When you begin, when you're baptized, you are on a journey, and it's a great adventure. As young people growing and learning, as folks heading off to college, as people struggling with health issues, we're on an adventure, and in that adventure, God is with us. So, denying, emptying, pouring, filling, and sharing. That's what Jesus is really saying, I think, when he says, deny yourselves, be open, be filled, and to pour yourselves back out into the real world. God's magnificent and glorious and brilliant solution. Is that the way the world operates? No. It doesn't. It doesn't. One of my students and I were meeting recently, and I said, I love to turn things upside down. That's what Jesus does. He says, no. What God does in Jesus is turn things right side up. Huh? That's the way things are meant to be. People say Christianity makes no sense. Oh no! Christianity makes the deepest sense if we really pay attention and dig into it and follow. A couple of three quick examples. My friend Dan. Friend in quotes on Facebook. I went to high school with Dan. Dan's pastor, dad was the pastor of the little evangelical free church. My dad was the pastor of the big Lutheran church in town. Dan, let me just put it this way, is very, very, very conservative. And we're friends on Facebook, right? And so I'll post something of a little bit different persuasion politically or socially. And of course, we all know there's a lot of controversy out there. And I just know that Dan will respond. At first I thought, what do you do when you don't like somebody on Facebook? You unfriend them. And I know some people who've unfriended Dan. I mean, we do it in the real world. If you don't like somebody, I'm going to unfriend them, right? But I've been struggling with, Dan is my friend. Dan is a fellow believer. He's part of the body of Christ. He's my brother in Christ. And so I've stayed in touch with Dan. Oh my gosh. I'll post something, he'll post something, and then people will join in, and for several days there will be a string of responses, including some members of our congregation. Some of you who know you are, you've joined in the conversation, right? Now, I just play referee. I just say, no name calling, let's be in conversation. Dan and I will never agree on many things, but I think it's important that we have that dialogue. I think in this day and age when people are shouting and name-calling, we need to listen to it. And that's the denying myself, Dave. That's the taking up a cross. And that's the following with my friend Dan. Another example. About a month ago, a dear friend of mine, a young 40-year-old pastor, mom with three kids, wife back in the Midwest, had a massive heart attack. And out of the massive heart attack had a stroke, and there was neurological damage, and she was put on life support for weeks and very recently passed away. Why do I mention that with this particular theme? The expressions and the outpouring of love on Facebook, Caring Bridge, all the various ways that the body of Christ and others have surrounded that family during Stephanie's illness and her death, for me, are a wonderful example of this right side up world in which we empty ourselves. We are poured into with God's love, and we pour that love out to others. We've been following Florence, right? Florence, what a story, the storm that's going on, and now there's a huge typhoon in the Philippines, right? And so we pray for our brothers and sisters. I have several friends in that area. My favorite story that I've watched during Florence, I'm very appreciative of the soldiers who've been there and the police and the fire workers and all the various people who are there, relief, doing good work. But my favorite group is the Cajun Navy. Anybody know what the Cajun Navy is? One evening I was watching, and all of a sudden this guy with this long beard and hat and camouflage jacket on there came roaring up in his boat. And they interviewed him, and he was one of many, many, many folks from Louisiana who had been affected by Katrina, and who knew what hurricanes were like. And since he lived back in the bayous and the backwaters and hunted alligators and all those kinds of things, he and his friends sent out a message, let's go to North Carolina and South Carolina in our boats and help people while we're there. And they interviewed him. He says, I'm no hero. We're just helping people out because that's what happened when we were in an emergency situation. That's what we are called to do, to empty ourselves, to be poured into, and to give ourselves back as God's love to the world. Wow. What an incredible, incredible opportunity we have. I love the way it said on my chalice that a friend of mine, a potter at Holden, made for me. It says, God is wildly in love with you. And we're called to be wildly in love with God's world, which needs it so much. A final thought. The funeral for Stephanie was yesterday at Central Lutheran in Minneapolis. It was such a big crowd, they had to go to the biggest church because her little church wouldn't contain all the love that people had for her and for her family. And one of my friends who lives in Minneapolis posted on Facebook at 11 o'clock last night. I was working on my sermon, and she posted this wonderful little note. She said, I was driving home from the funeral with my son, Benny. Benny is 4. And Benny said, I feel sad. And then he followed by saying, my heart feels like it's stretching. Does it always hurt when your heart stretches? Mom said, mine has never stretched so much before in my life, Benny. Maybe this is how God is helping us to love each other, by stretching our hearts. May God, as we empty ourselves and are filled and to overflowing, stretch our hearts with his love for God's world, in Christ's name. Amen.